content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Fran for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be presenting information, some of which comes from a gardener's guide month by month, from the North Carolina Extension Master Gardeners of Wake County. Also, information from the Forest Therapy Course Workbook, as well as information that comes from my personal experience and knowledge. Out in the garden today, we will find us walking through the garden. An actual walk in a garden or park requires preparation. Plan on a hat, sunscreen, a water container, and flat-soled shoes. If you plan on harvesting vegetables, be sure and bring a container to hold them and gardening gloves. You may need additional support to be safe, maybe a companion, a cell phone, or walking support. Safety is always first when considering all activities. Today, we won't need as much preparation as our walk is only in our imagination. Let's go for that imaginative walk in the garden. Close your eyes and open your senses. Listen for all of the sounds around you. They may be natural or man-made. Each sound deserves attention and consideration. Identify the sound, consider it, and then move on to the next sound. Now take a deep breath. Feel the cool air as it comes in through your nose, and the warmed air as it goes out through your nose. Touch each fingertip. Feel how sensitive they are. Now inhale through your mouth. And as you exhale through your mouth, taste and feel the air pass over your tongue. Then take a deep breath through your nose and let it out slowly. We are ready to start our exploration of the garden. In June, taking a walk in the garden is a celebration of senses. The garden has come to life now with textures, sounds, smells, and tastes that tickle our fingers and toes, and even our nose and our tongue. We can expect to encounter perennial plants that may return from previous years, or annuals that we have planted this year. We may touch some perennial peonies with their soft petals, or the annual coleus with their soft leaves. Finding a tall bee balm plant is a true delight. Softly touch its flower, and you can feel the explosion of petals in all directions. Perennial bee balm, it loyally returns each year and spreads too. It's loved by pollinators and hummingbirds. You might possibly find some roses, being careful of the prickles on their stems. Yes, those are prickles, not thorns. You may encounter the roses with their embracing and heady fragrance. Then kneeling lower to the ground, chrysanthemums have a sharp, tangy fragrance. Next to the chrysanthemums, you might feel the soft, lacy leaves of a dusty miller plant. In the garden, nature surprises us with these tantalizing differences and contrasts side by side. Talking about pollinators, the list of pollinators may surprise you. We usually think of bees as pollinators, and they are. But there are a few others that include butterflies, moths, flies, beetles, ants, and hummingbirds. There are even more, and on a broadcast in the future, we will discuss pollinators and their importance in our garden and in our life. As we continue on our garden walk, we've now come to the vegetable patch. If you are very lucky and find a shady part of your garden, a cool vegetable such as leafy spinach, cabbage, leafy lettuce, or peas might still be surviving. But not for much longer, as that heat of summer takes over. We find squash and cucumbers that love to wind themselves through the vegetable patch with their prickly stems and leaves. Here we might be fortunate and find a squash to harvest. You can harvest it when it has reached 6 to 8 inches long. Wearing gloves, hold the squash in one hand and the stem in the other. Just give a little twist where the squash meets the stem and the squash will separate. The cucumber is better picked a bit shorter, at 4 to 6 inches. If we now stand up, reach up, we find our trellis with its long beans that are ready to be picked. Once they reach 3 to 4 inches, they're ready to be picked. With your fingers, pinch off by the end, by the bean, where it connects to the stem. We have fortunately harvested some delicious vegetables for eating later in the day. Now we've come to the edge of the garden by the back door. Here we find our herb garden in full summer splendor. Ooh, a squawky bird gains our attention. Maybe she thinks we're too close to her nest. Unable to identify the bird, I take out my cell phone and I open my Merlin Bird ID app. That's Merlin, capital M-E-R-L-I-N, Bird ID app. I open it on my phone and I ask it to identify the bird by its bird call. It's a crow. They like to make noise and warn others that we are in the garden. Continuing on in the herb patch, we find herbs to delight our taste, smell, and touch. We are always careful to correctly identify plants before we taste. Keeping the herb garden in a particular area is important for this reason. Also, keeping it near the house encourages us to pick fresh herbs to enhance our cooking. When picking herbs, pinch them off, leaving 4 to 6 inches on the plant for regrowth. Wash them and allow them to dry before using the same day. Use safe cutting techniques to snip a bit for seasoning in your lunch or dinner. For best flavor, always pick your herbs early in the day. If you have an abundance of herbs, they can be dried or frozen for later use. One of the quickest and easiest ways to dry small amounts of herbs is using your microwave. After cutting your herbs in the morning, wash them. They must then be very dry before placing between 2 paper towels in the microwave. Use 1 to 3 minute time spans until the herbs feel like they will crumble. Crumble now or just before using. Place in a clean, dry, airtight container for storing. You may store them for up to 1 year. If you wish to freeze your extra herbs after picking, wash them and shake off most of the moisture. You now have 2 options. You can spread the herbs on a baking sheet and freeze them, and then store them in a plastic bag in the freezer. And a second choice is placing chopped herbs in an ice cube tray, then fill with cold water and freeze. This is a good one for mint and placing the ice cubes in drinks. Other herbs are good this way for use in soups and stews. Place the ice cubes in a plastic bag to store in the freezer. In the herb garden, we touch our first plant and discover that it's the chives that we planted in this exact spot. And some have also come up from last year. You can feel their tall, straight, and flowy green stems and their oniony smell. Help us to correctly identify them. Our basil also has a definite fragrance that reassures us of correct identification. The mints, they're easy to recognize with their pungent mint fragrance, and they have smaller textured leaves. Mints are very happy. They advance in every direction. You may want to contain them in a planter. We may find lavender and feel its woody stem and needle-like leaves. The lavender flower is often used for flavoring and just as often as a fragrance in many household items. A bunch of lavender flower stems, picked, tied, and hung upside down in a closet, reward you each time you open the closet. A quick recipe tip here. Place some cream cheese in a bowl and mix in your favorite chopped herb. Maybe a bit of salt or maybe a bit of garlic. And you have a nice dip or spread for crackers or bagels. If it's too thick, just add a bit of sour cream. There are plant-based cream cheeses and sour creams for those avoiding dairy products. This is yummy. Please try it. Here's a list of some other plants that may be blooming in your garden, including my favorite one, Alstroemeria, butterfly bush, cardinal flower, dahlia, echinacea, the wonderful fragrance of gardenia, tall gladiolus, hosta, hydrangea, iris, lantanas, some salvias, tall sunflowers, verbena, and yarrow. Herbs such as oregano, dill, sage, parsley, and maybe tarragon can happily greet you each morning in your garden. It's time to end our walk and go inside for a cool drink. And think about what delicious dish we can create with the herbs and the vegetables that we found in the garden. While today was an imaginative walk in the garden, I encourage everyone to go outside and connect with nature in whatever way is possible and comfortable for you. Always be mindful of engaging your senses when in nature, as we practiced on our imaginary walk. Connecting with nature can be as easy as sitting in your garden, sitting on your porch or your patio, or even sitting near an open window. When we garden and experience nature, we feel happier, less stressed, and calmer. People wonder, why is this? Am I imagining in this? Research does indeed confirm. These benefits are real when we engage in gardening and time with nature. Please notice we are not simply in nature, we are with nature. Let's expand our minds now with a bit of science concerning nature. Oh my, stay with me. It is truly interesting. Edward O. Wilson spent years researching what he calls the biophilia hypothesis. He believes we have an evolution-based tendency to seek connection with the natural world. I'm going to say that again. He believes we have an evolution-based tendency to seek connection with the natural world. More simply, for thousands of years, our ancestors were deeply connected to the earth. For food and shelter, for survival. They were hunters and gatherers. E.O. Wilson believes this connection still runs deep within us and is a big part of who we are even today. Unfortunately, most of us live in urban-type settings, which lack a connection to the natural world. This has led to a nature deficit disorder. This is a term coined by Richard Louv in the 2005 book, The Last Child in the Woods. The lack of nature in our lives has led to a diminished use of our senses, to attention difficulties, and to higher rates of emotional and physical illness. Reconnecting with nature is reconnecting with ourselves. From the Nature Lover's quotation book, Alfred Austin writes, "The glory of gardening, hands in the dirt, head in the sun, heart with nature." To nurture a garden is to feed not just the body, but the soul. Another reminder of the importance of nature in our lives. Reconnecting with nature takes many forms. A garden or park walk is one way to connect, and another is a sit spot. That's sit, S-I-T, spot. As I mentioned, you can sit in your garden, porch, patio, or by a window, and intentionally tune into nature with your senses. In our sit spot, we sit quietly for 20 minutes, relax, and listen to all of the sounds. Feel the air and the wind on your skin. Open your mouth and feel the air on your tongue. Notice your breath passing in and out. Be present in the moment you are in the place where you are. When I'm in my sit spot, I notice after about 10 minutes, the birds and squirrels don't pay attention to me. As long as I'm quiet and still, they act naturally all around me. You can hear them calling to each other and rustling in the trees, in the leaves, and on the ground. When you experience the sit spot, you become relaxed, less stressed, and calmer, connecting with nature. Try a sit spot for 20 minutes each day and see how much better you feel. On both our garden walk and our sit spot, I have brought attention to your breathing. Of course, we all know breathing is important, but many of us are habitually shallow breathers. We don't completely oxygenate our bodies. Being mindful of breathing in deeply allows us to receive the gifts of nature, and breathing out completely returns this gift to nature. Why? Because we breathe in the much-needed oxygen that is created by nature, and we breathe out the carbon dioxide that nature needs for photosynthesis. Oh, I did say we were going to venture into a bit of science. You may remember learning about photosynthesis in school. It may have seemed complicated, but it really isn't. Photosynthesis is a wonderful and amazing activity that plants in our garden and in nature are processing daily. Plants are able to manufacture their own food. Wow, that's incredible to me. How do they do this? Well, plants use water and carbon dioxide. Now that's the carbon dioxide we breathe out. They use that to create the sugar and carbohydrates that they use for food. And during this process, they create oxygen that we need to breathe. A small amount of water is also created and released into the air during this process of photosynthesis. The word photosynthesis actually means to put together with light. That is our last ingredient. Photosynthesis takes place in the presence of light. This can be artificial or sunlight. Within the cells of the plant are specialized areas called chloroplasts that assist in carrying out the photosynthesis. This is really a very simplified version of the process. However, even knowing this much, it's easy to understand now why plants need water and light to live and make their own food and grow. Maybe you are thinking, I don't have room for a garden, and I don't want all the work of a garden. Then a container garden may be for you. You can enjoy a sit spot near your container garden, on your front or back porch, or even on your windowsill. A container garden is a delightful addition to any home or garden. It is easily personalized for your wants and needs. A container can be placed at any height for you to work with or even to enjoy. It can be moved to new locations as you decide. Many garden centers have already created them for you, or you can create your own. They are wonderful to give or receive as a gift. Let's create an imaginary container together. Well, where are we going to keep this container? Will this container sit in the sun or the shade or near a window inside your home? If you don't have a window with good light, you can purchase indoor artificial plant lights. From a small and economical size to large, yeah, and expensive ones. The size of the container you plant in will depend on the available space that you have for your container. Containers come in many sizes, shapes, colors, and textures. A windowsill garden will need a fairly exact size to fit on the windowsill, while a planter for outside can have much more flexibility in size. I will choose a 12-inch diameter round plastic container to sit outside by my back door, which is part sun and shade. This area receives morning sun for only 4 hours and afternoon shade. All containers need drain holes and then a drip tray underneath. If it sits outside, you can also use planter feet underneath to allow for drainage. Some are just basic shapes, where others are rather cutely shaped to small animals. I chose a plastic container so I don't drop it and have a lot of broken, sharp pieces to clean up. You may like clay or ceramic pots, but I tend to drop a lot of things. So, better safe than sorry. I go with plastic. You may think flowers are next, but no, it would be container planting medium. It is not recommended to go outside and dig up soil for your container. Outside soil contains weed seeds, insects, and is dense. Container soil or medium is usually a sterilized medium made up of a combination of substances. It is particularly formulated for containers and is the best for your plants. Many contain fertilizing and water retention components. One bag will be pretty much the right amount for a single container, but it may even stretch to more containers depending on the size that you've used. I had quite a bit left over from filling my 12-inch container. It's now time to choose the plants to go in our container. Now is when you need to know whether your container placement will be in the sun, shade, or part sun and shade. When you purchase your plants, you will be able to ask the employees at the garden center for information on the growing needs of your plants. In order to plant the right plant in the right place, A container garden is very personal and can be planted in any way you like, for indoors or outdoors. However, there is a particular formula that many people follow when creating a container. The three components are thriller, filler, spiller. The names pretty much describe the type of plant. Thriller is going to grow taller and be the first plant usually noticed. Filler is a medium height plant that fills in around the pot. A spiller is planted at the edge of the pot and, yep, you guessed it, will drape over the pot and spill down. One of each plant will be just right in my 12-inch round container. As they grow, the plants will spread and fill the container. So you want to be sure to leave room for that future growth. You may be tempted to put more plants in, but remember that future growth. I have chosen to plant as my thriller a coleus with its large leaves, a petunia with its soft flowers to fill in, and creeping Jenny with its small round leaves to spill out. Creeping Jenny will creep and spread. She will need to be controlled. Since we've mentioned herbs today, another possibility would be planting three herbs that you like. You may even want to mix flowers and herbs in your container. You are the gardener and the creator of your container. Create what you will enjoy and pleases you. Our next step is placing the planting medium into your pot. Cleaning up will be easier later on if you lay down a cloth or paper under the container to catch any messes. A small cup is useful for transferring the soil from the bag to the container. I don't just dump the bag. First, it can be dusty and make you sneeze. Second, it's hard to control, and spilling happens. Fill your container until 2 inches from the top of that container. We don't fill the medium up to the top of the pot so it doesn't run over when we work with the medium and water the container. Next, we're going to wet the planting medium. After wetting, the medium may condense and be lower in the pot. If needed, work in more medium. Continue by using your hands to make 3 wide holes in the soil. Remove your plants from the small growing pots. Place them into the 3 holes. Adjust the soil so that it reaches up where the bottom of the plant meets the soil it grew in. I place my thriller in the center or in the back, my filler in the middle, and my spiller on the edge. That, remember to breathe in slowly and breathe out slowly and relax while you sit in your sit spot by your container and be with nature. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Fran, reading for the North Carolina Reading Services. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. No spaces. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138.